Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host today, Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, Matthew King. Each week, we visit with a regional writer, poet, or other persons involved with writers and readers, and this week, we're very pleased to have the winner of the Poetry Prize in the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts writing competition with us. We usually ask people to introduce us to their work, give us a glimpse into their lives, find out what prompts them to write, and we are delighted to have Matthew King with us today. Matthew grew up in Etobicoke and was deeply shaped by his summers at the cottage his grandfather built on Wollaston Lake in Hastings County. He began writing poetry in high school in a largely unsuccessful attempt to get girls to fall in love with him. He veered from English into philosophy as an undergraduate at Queen's, did a PhD in philosophy at York University, and published a book based on his doctoral work, titled Heidegger and Happiness, Dwelling on Fitting and Being. He taught at York until 2014, and in 2015, he moved to the Marmar area with his partner Brenda and their three kittens. Since then, he's made the trek back from philosophy to what Heidegger calls the neighbouring mountaintop of poetry, and now works at walking a rope bridge between the two. So, Matthew, what actually inspired you to return to writing poetry?
Well, poetry is something I've kept coming back to for really most of my life since I started writing in high school. When I was in high school, as a later adolescent, I really identified as a poet more than anything else, and then it was a thing that I got away from, came back to, and really intense kind of spurts of writing and thinking about how to write and thinking about what poetry is and thinking about how to do it today, which, you know, through the 3 decades I've been paying attention to it now, I think is a problem in the world today. You know, what poetry is, what the place of poetry is, and how to do it today. What's inspired me to come back to it particularly lately was actually a year ago. My former partner's father died. And that brought a lot of things back for me, and I was sort of overwhelmed by the loss of it. And there was a phrase that just kept running through my mind, what loss? And that somehow just sort of developed into words from that one phrase, what loss? And that was the first poem that I wrote in this recent bout of poem writing, which has gone on for just over a year now, and all the poems I'm going to read today I've written since then, and I'll read that one too. So I guess that's what really inspired me to return to it, and there was a really fortunate coincidence that there's a poetry reading night in Tweed, which we're going to talk a bit more about in a minute, that just happened to be happening about a week after I finished that poem, and so I went and read it there, and everything kind of snowballed from there.
So now you have an opportunity to tell us about the First Tuesday Muse. What is it?
First Tuesday Muse is a really great, really fun, really interesting monthly poetry reading night in Tweed at the Tweed's Mirror Tavern, first Tuesday of every month. And like I say, it was a sort of, you know, great coincidence that got me and my partner Brenda going to it, that I had a couple of fresh poems I felt were kind of good. You know, I sort of felt good about sharing them at that monthly poetry night, which we had thought of going to, I guess, for some months before that.
So how many people go? I mean, what kind of group is it?
It varies. I'd say there might be a couple of dozen.
Mm-hmm. Do you read your poems every time?
I have, and I think most people who attend it do read. You always kind of wish at these things that more people would come and just be the audience rather than readers reading to each other. But, you know, readers are going to be a particularly interested audience for other readers because, you know, obviously they're interested in writing and they're interested in how other people do it. And that's a really great thing about this First Tuesday Muse Night, is that there's all kinds of different approaches to writing poetry that are on display, like pretty much everything imaginable. Peter Snell is the host, and he keeps everything loose and everybody feeling good about what's going on, and he does a fantastic job. It's Peter and there are two other guys who are sort of the main group who mm-hmm. put it together and keep it going. Him and Billy, I'm not sure how he says his last name, Pitton or Python. He's Billy of Billy and Lynn, who host open mic nights in a few places now. And also Doug Anderson, who made a wonderful podium. He's a woodworker, and he made a wonderful podium that we read at that was actually modeled after one of Lauren Harris's paintings of the North Shore of Lake Superior. And he also does the sound at the night. So those three guys did a wonderful job.
It sounds both informal but quite elaborate now. So you taught philosophy for many years and wrote a book, Heidegger and Happiness. So tell us a little about Heidegger and his philosophy and whether your studies have influenced the way in which you write poetry and the poems themselves.
Yeah, they certainly have. And sort of how they do is, I guess, kind of an ongoing issue for me writing poetry. As for Heidegger, I like to say about Heidegger that there are as many Heideggers as there are readers of Heidegger. Heidegger's a notoriously difficult writer. Some people say he's just gibberish, but obviously it's not to me. What is the thing about Heidegger for me is that his main concern is, and it's very hard to frame what his main concern is, which is kind of why he's so difficult. But anyway, his main concern is being, and you could say what being is, except Heidegger would say that's not a good way to frame the question, because being is not a being. And so Heidegger is concerned with the difference between being and beings, and being is not a being, so you can't ask the question what being is. Being is what beings do, and the being of being happens to us. And so he's concerned with that. And a lot of his later work is written in dialogue with poetry, because
the personification of poetry, you mean?
With particular poets and particular poems whose work, I guess, particularly embodies what he thinks of as the poetic function of language, which is to present the happening of being to us. I'll tell you a story which may or may not make anything I've said any clearer, but for me, what it is about Heidegger that's so important goes back to this experience that I had, and I always remember having it, lying on my bed in my bedroom in the house where I grew up, and I was just lying there on my back and staring at the ceiling, and suddenly it felt impossible to me that I was having the experience that I was having, that the world was showing up to me, that things were showing up to me as they were. That felt impossible to me. And in another way of putting that is, it's miraculous. It's just a miracle. And you can't explain it. And that's the thing that, for me, Heidegger is the one, he doesn't like the word philosopher, but he likes the word thinker instead. But it doesn't matter. But for me, he's the one thinker who really tries to get at that. And it's basically impossible, because you're trying to explain something that can't be explained, which is sort of why Heidegger turns to this dialogue with poetry, because poets kind of do what he's trying to talk about. And you can't really talk about it exactly. You can sort of talk around it and point at what it is in language that does it, that shows being happening, or that presents being happening, that makes being happen. So
Okay. I won't make a comment, because you might have to start all over again and explain it again. How about you read us some of your poems?
All right.
And will you start with your winning poem, On the Camel at Peterborough Zoo, and others, please?
On the Camel at the Peterborough Zoo and others. And this poem has a dedication, which I think it's my only poem that has a dedication. It's for Gobi, who is the now late camel at the Peterborough Zoo. He died just about a month after I wrote this poem, which is very strange, given how the poem ends. But anyway, it's for Gobi and Wally. There's a sign that tells you what to do if you want to piss it off. But it looks pissed off enough already. At least to me it does. You can't get over how huge it is, or at least I can't. And when it's lumbering at me, I back up, and I don't know how far is far enough. Everyone says the camels spit when they're mad, and how do you know it's mad except that you think it's going to spit? And it always looks about to spit, or at least to me it does, and it's got the size to matter. The size of its head. Its enormous neck reminds you of how you see an oak and think how incredibly engineered it is to hold all that weight by just one joint. Or at least I do, and if you don't, just think of some guy you've seen explaining torture techniques who said, try holding your arms straight out 10 minutes. Well, try it. I'll wait. You get the idea, and so you see why this camel might be mad about holding its head up all day long. And kids keep on riding up and down on bicycles, like the sign suggests. This camel to me is something wholly other, not comprehended like the pig that nibbles your fingers out of cheerful domestication, or the snakes and lizards and monkeys in their glass containers displayed like on a screen. No delusions of friendship here, facing this beast across this empty space. But then when I turn to go, I turn from its slobbering mouth and its threatening stare, I turn to the side, to its singular eye, and enter in, not facing but seen and seeing, nothing to do with confrontation, nothing to do with recognition, nothing to do with self and other, just taking it in, and we are the same. And the day before he died, Wally on drugs, his pupils deep as space, looked into my eyes as if he couldn't believe we never saw what we saw before.
Well, thank you very much, Matthew. Now we'll take a short break.